question, are these the same thing?
I do not know the answer to that.
Okay.
Can I have your attention, please? Can everyone please give your attention?
We're ready to begin.
Here we go. Start, please. Thank you. Okay, we'll do attendance.
Yes. Chair Collins?
Here.
Legislator Kovacs is not here. Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator McCullough?
Here.
Legislator Nolan?
Here.
Legislator Sperry is not here. Legislator Uchitel is not here. You have quorum.
Thank you. So call the meeting to order. The first item is approval of the June 27 and July 25th meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? Seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, our first item is discussion of the corridor walkthrough. So yesterday morning, a number of us, I think there were six of us, walked from milepost 8.33 to milepost 10.1. Three of those members are here, including me. Actually, four of those members are here. So if the legislators would like to give their impressions of that walk, I'd be glad to hear that. Legislator Nolan.
I think we didn't get to milepost 10.1. The bridge is, I think, a little short of milepost.
Correct, 10.1. Milepost 10. What that was, it's been fallen down because of a tree falling on it.
But I would say that I think that it was very helpful to me to walk all of that section. I have been in that section, but not all the way through it. It was very helpful, and for the legislators that weren't able to do it with us, I think it would be good for them to get access and go. And I think there will be some specifics that we can talk about, but maybe give other people a chance to get general impressions.
Sounds good.
I was happy to take part in that walk yesterday. I had been on part of the trail earlier, but this was a much more extensive and in-depth look at the topography, and I was a little surprised at how steep the grade is in many places and how high the railroad bed was above the surrounding wetlands and woods. I think that there will be some real engineering feats required to get rail and trail in some of those areas, so I'll be interested to hear how the Catskill Mountain Railroad hopes to do that. It was also good for us to see the bridges. There are two bridges that are built of cement. One is over Beesmer Road. I forget the location of the second, and then there's one at the very end of the corridor, right before, it crosses Basin Road. So I was just curious how we're going to deal with those existing bridges and how those could be updated to accommodate both rail and trail. And so I'm looking forward to hearing those thoughts.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak? I give my impressions, similar impressions to Legislator Stewart's. There are some definitely difficult areas to do both rail and trail, in my opinion. The two bridges that would have to be looked at, well, one is over Beesmer, very small bridge. I actually drove, when I left the walk, I drove under it just to see what it was like from driving. Beesmer itself is not a pass. It doesn't go all the way to 28. It kind of stops at right in front of the Honda. The motorcycle place.
Harley.
Thank you. And you can take a dirt road from there to 28, but it's not really a through road. Also, want to make sure that I thank the Ulster County Public Works Department for clearing the path for us. saving us from multitudes of ticks and everything else that they saved us from, so I appreciate that.
The ticks and poison ivy both.
Yes. Anything else on Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I agree with those observations. I think the high fill areas going down steep embankments to wetland areas in many instances on both sides of the high fill is exceedingly difficult for one use, either rail or trail. I think we do need to hear from engineers on this, but in addition to cost, I think you have some real environmental hazards that would be that we would encounter in trying to do work in those areas with wetlands directly below them. Similarly, in the rock cut areas, the corridor is narrow, 20 feet or less in some places, and there does not seem to me to be an environmentally innocuous way to address widening that corridor. In addition, we did note a pretty dramatic point at which the grassy material and bushes along the rail were absent, and that was at the edge of and entering onto the property owned by FAI. But immediately east of that and down gradient for 100, maybe a couple of hundred feet, there was also diminished vegetation. And I think that the application of herbicides on the FAI property did not, from my look, remain on the FAI property, at least in terms of what it looked like in terms of that down gradient vegetation. When we reached the bridge over to the Ashokan, I think a very complicated geography there and land boundaries, which Chair Collins, I think, was able to elucidate for us. But there, I think as we go forward, we also need to be cognizant that there are many municipalities that have a stake in what happens at that site, as well as on either end of the entire corridor in Ulster County. And the topography at the proposed station that CMRR has mentioned on many occasions also looked challenging in terms of development for a large number of parking spaces and buildings and so forth. So the challenges were very evident, I think, from direct inspection. And so members of the legislature and certainly of this committee that haven't had a chance yet to get out there, we just again encourage people to go look.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, I think it would be great if we could maybe have a second one of these walkthroughs for folks who weren't able to attend the one yesterday.
I'm more than happy to do that. It was actually a fun walk, so I'll do it again myself.
It was a good way to start the day. So, yeah.
Anything else on this topic? Okay, we'll move forward. One discussion on the requirements for rail plus trail. That's one option that we're looking at. And really what I want to talk about, and this is open discussion with legislators here, is the width that we think is necessary. I know there's been surveys done, there's been data done on this in different areas. We're not going to come to a decision today, but I want to make sure that we talk about it. I want to introduce this as one of the concerns, one of the questions that we have to address. We need to come up with what we feel is the correct width for rail and trail to separate the pedestrians, the bicyclists, from the trains and have safe passage for both. There are some documents that I will distribute for the next meeting, if they've not already been distributed, that give some opinions on these. I don't want to get into depth in those because I've only seen the documents for a couple of days. I want to make sure that we have time to digest that information and understand what they're saying and kind of come to a conclusion of what we think is appropriate. So any comments on that? Any other comments on that? Questions on that? Okay.
And I'm sorry, when are those documents be available?
I'll have Michael distribute them to the legislators.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you.
And then, you know, there are different opinions of the width, and I want to make sure that we get all those opinions. They're different widths that have been used in different rail plus trail paths. And I want to make sure that we understand that too. It may be useful even to go to a couple of those rail plus trail and see if we feel visually if they're wide enough or not wide enough. That's one of the concerns that we need to address and make sure that we understand. Okay. So next we'll get into the presentation by the Catskill Mountain Railroad. I have given them 15 minutes. They have 48 slides, so I'm not sure it's going to be challenging for 15 minutes. So we'll see what we can do. I think we do have, I have a hard stop an hour from now. I have to be in another meeting at 6 o'clock. So that's my time frame. So go ahead.
Great.
The floor is yours.
Terrific. Thank you, Chairman Collins, for the opportunity for us to make our presentation. I think you all have seen the physical presentation. Are you hearing me okay?
I don't think it's long, actually.
How's this?
Oh, much better.
Okay, good. Thank you. But anyway, thank you very much for the opportunity to walk you all through the presentation and, of course, be able to answer some questions about it. So I'll try to get through as quickly as I can. But the first half has got, I think, most of the information that we'll be covering, and the second half has a little more detail, which we'll go through a little bit faster. One thing I got to say is that this is a presentation focused on the benefits of extending the railroad. We have a second presentation that goes into the rail to trail in very great detail, which if needed we could do as a follow-up, but that's not the primary purpose of this presentation. Though I have a couple slides on railroad trail. So the site that we want to extend the railroad to is just east of Basin Road. It's just outside of the DEP territory. The site is on here, and up on the board here. And it's currently owned by FAI LLC. They're the owners of the office park, which is due south of the site, which you can see. And the plan is to build a station there, parking, and so that people can get off the train and go to the trail. So let me walk through the presentation. I'll go through the slides and go through detail. See if I can figure out which button to press. What is it? Sorry.
I got you. So this part is
I think I should have figured that out, but anyway, thank you. So this is the summary of the request. The extension of the track would be 1.67 miles from Stony Hollow to Basin Road, and it is currently the railroad tracks are there. The ties are pretty deteriorated, but the rails are in pretty good shape, and it's we connect to the Ashokan Rail Trail just east of Basin Road. This will be a tourism gateway, and we anticipate it to be a facility that could be basically a welcome center, not just for the trail and for the railroad, but actually for the whole Catskill region. And it would have indoor bathrooms, parking, and an event facility for both the ART and the CMRR. It will serve as a gateway to the UT Corridor and expanded Catskill Mountains. By the way, we believe that the project will create an attraction that will rival the walkway over the Hudson in the sense that it would increase the existing ridership and users and visitors of both of these to the level of, right now it's about 200,000 for the trail, I understand, it's about 50,000 for the railroad. But you could easily double that and get something like 500,000, which is what the walkway over the Hudson has. And I think the connection of this, connecting it to Kingston, will go a long ways into making this a destination regional attraction, far greater than each is by themselves. We believe that the economic impact will increase by at least 50% through the connection, and we'll walk through that a little bit later. We also believe that there's some good sustainability issues here because the less people that take the train up there from Kingston, the more people that take the train, the less carbon dioxide that's used. We also have gotten endorsements from the towns of Hurley, Ulster, and Kingston for this extension, and over 35 letters of support from the public. Now, this is a map of the extension, which is over here, if you want to see it in greater detail. But again, you walk up from, you see the Stony Hollow Fill, Beesman Road, and then the long cut up to the top at where the rail trail stations go. The connection to the ART will provide a direct connection between the ART and Midtown and Uptown Kingston, and bring thousands of new visitors via the CMR to the ART and the towns of Kingston, Ulster, Hurley, and Woodstock. Again, as I mentioned before, creating a destination attraction for rival walk over the Hudson. ART users can leave their cars in Kingston where they can stop for lunch or dinner before or after their trip by rail to the Ashokan Rail Trail, allowing Midtown and Uptown Kingston directly to the economic impact of ART visitors. Casco Mountain Railroad can run regular shuttle service from Kingston up the hill to the ART on a two-hour turnaround, allowing the railroad to provide a transportation function, which it doesn't do today. Bicyclists can load their bikes in Kingston Plaza or Washington Avenue for a trip up to the ART and back, avoiding the steep grade from Kingston to the Ashokan Reservoir. And the rail shuttle service from Midtown and Uptown Kingston to the new Basin Road Station would ease congestion on 28 and reduce parking needs at the ART in West Hurley, and it could be offered free to disadvantaged people in Kingston who cannot afford bikes to get to the ART. And again, as I mentioned earlier, be a gateway to the Catskills and Welcome Center, not just for the ART, but also for really everything west of there. So I've gone through and organized these in terms of what I believe are the benefits to the various players that are involved here. For the county, again, it combines the railroad ART in a single destination. As I mentioned, I think will be something like walkway over the Hudson. It expands the Casco Mountain Railroad's 80% customer base, which is from outside the county, that will take people from Midtown and Uptown Kingston, the railroad and the ART. So again, it combines Uptown Kingston, Midtown Kingston, the railroad and the ART into a single experience. And that's really the main reason why it's so important to connect with the rest of it. Again, it creates more out-of-county visitors to the ART and increases its economic impact. It creates a tourism gateway for both Western Ulster County and the Catskill Scenic Byway. And with a tour, you'll see tourism information booth. We'll have new event space, indoor bathrooms, which allows the ART and the railroad to be included on the attraction signs in the New York Thruway, something which cannot be done today. And it's also a great movie production location with a period train station. And again, it provides access to the ART, which is not controlled by the New York City DEP. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it decreases GHG emissions by taking automobiles off of 28 and replacing them with train riders. In furtherance of the county executive's agenda of keeping the boldest climate agenda in New York State. And on top of this, the cost of the project will be entirely borne by the Casco Mountain Railroad, the local landowner, New York State DOT, which has already provided $667,000 in funding. The Castle Railroad is not asking for any funding of any kind from the county to complete this project. This is the what we believe the benefits to the trail, to the ART. It's safer access to the ART at West Hurley through Route 28 stoplight at Basin Road. And I'll show you how that works on this diagram. You can enter this site through Basin Road. There's a stoplight here. And, oh, Kevin, you turn around. So
you can sit in these.
You guys can sit over here.
You guys can sit.
And the same for the members of the public. Come closer so you can see the presentation. Please.
Yeah, let's get everybody closer. But the benefit of this is that you can enter the site through Basin Road to the stoplight. The current trailhead has a left turn. It's not supposed to have a left turn, but a lot of people still take it. This is a much safer access road. You can enter the trail from here, from the station, and you exit only right turn going this way. And it also, the other benefit is it does allow for a connection to a potential extension up through Zeta Road that could go to Woodstock or maybe even down to the Audior Lake. But again, the benefit is this is a stoplight and there's a protected entrance and exit that it's not possible to have on the trail as it is currently.
So would the stoplight be just on Basin Road but also on 28?
No, the stoplight right now is right here.
It exists today, right?
It exists.
Yeah. And Mrs. Stewart's is right here. And this is some old abandoned site. There's an abandoned gas station at this point, but this property is controlled by FIIC LLC, which is what we have signed the lease for. And again, it's you know, really a very strategic location in that it is adjacent to the corner, but it does allow you safe access directly onto the trail. And that is something that is, you know, great about this specific site.
There was also talk about a gas station going in somewhere here. Well, is that still in the works?
These guys are trying to put some massive gas stations in here.
Uh-huh.
They're having trouble going through the town of Woodstock Planning Board. So I don't know what's... These guys, I think, are off out of Hopewell Junction or something like that. And the owner of FAI LLC would love to buy this, but he would never do anything like that. But it is... I doubt that thing's going to get built, from what I can see. I don't know, maybe you'll know more about it than I do. But this site, on the other hand, has never been used in any commercial capacity. It's always just been an extra lot from, and this was originally, all this land was actually originally owned by the New York City DEP. In 1959, they sold this piece to private landowners because I guess they felt that they didn't need it. And that's why there's still a remnant of the Ashokan Railroad easement that goes through this section of the site. But anyway, hopefully that gives you a little bit of a sense of how it works. And one of the big benefits is, of course, that it is a better access point. And there's a lot of parking already, but it would give you more parking. And again, a good junction between several different trail networks. It also would provide commercial space, and the owner of the FAI LLC is willing to build commercial space as either part of the station or adjacent to the station that would be used for food or e-bike rental, and or any kind of bike rental. And as I was mentioning to Kevin, I was approached by an e-bike renter. It would just love to set up a tent here to rent e-bikes to the public, and I assume he's not the only one. So,
yeah. Quick question. I'm big on safety. So you're saying exit to the right.
Yeah.
But folks are making left-hand turns.
What they would need to do is take this little road here and come out and go this way. They would not be able to make a left-hand turn here.
They would, you know, the paving could be done in such a way you can't.
But you're making that kind of turn now.
Well, up at the trailhead, you're not supposed to, but people do it. But it's, I know it's not really. I mean, you're supposed to basically come here, go to the light, turn around, and go the other way.
Is there a sign to say no left turn?
There's a sign that says it's kind of like around here.
Okay.
There's a sign that says no left turn, but
the same sign that would go there.
You
right.
Know, some people, some people just do it anyway. But here, at least you'd have a protected entrance and exit.
But the curb cut would be engineered in a way too.
Oh yeah, yeah, it'd be right turn only. You'd
yeah.
cut it so that there's no way you could turn. I mean, not a normal car. But that is one of the advantages of this site. Again, it's a supplemental trailhead, but it also can't be closed by the DEP. You know, because technically the DEP can't close the other ones. I think they've only done it once so far. But you know, this would be completely under the control of the county or the railroad or FII, but not of the DEP. And again, the easement for the railroad, the county's easement through here is 120 feet wide. It's pretty wide through here. But the whole site's about 5 acres. And again, right below here is the existing office park. A couple more items. We believe that, again, I think I've covered most of this through our discussion, but again, one of the things we can do as a railroad is we can bring people up here. You know, we do give away a lot of tickets to the train, and people who are disadvantaged in Kingston, we can work out you know, rides up here, which they may not have at this time. So again, I think there's a lot of benefits to the trail. And one of the things we want to do in the winter is actually to operate a ski train up there so that you could do cross-country skiing. I'm sure there's some already being done, but the train would get you up there and get access to the trail in the winter, which may be a little bit more difficult if you're doing it by car. Now, the benefits to the railroad, I'll walk you through the benefits to are mainly to make sure that the railroad has a destination, which it doesn't have. This train ends in the woods. It's a scenic train, but it doesn't serve a transportation function. When it has a terminal up here at Basin Road, we can actually serve a transportation function, not just a scenic route. And again, it gives us a destination with a period terminal station and allows us to detrain passengers at Basin Road, and they can, on the shuttle, at a two-hour turnaround, they can go for 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, come back later in the day, and go back to Kingston. The idea is that these are out, especially for out-of-town people, that they're really become captive, and that they will use restaurants in Kingston, they'll use the train, and then they will use the trail. And again, the target is, train is 80% out-of-towners, whereas the trail is the other way around. And again, you want to get these people have a longer experience and spend more money in Ulster County.
I don't want to interrupt,
yeah.
But both in the heading of this slide and in the next, the last bullet, you reference something called a UC railroad. What is a UC railroad?
So Ulster County owns the railroad.
Ulster County owns the corridor.
Right. But it's we're the operator of the corridor, but it's the benefit of whatever operator's there.
So there is no Ulster County Railroad that I know of.
Well, it's Ulster County Railroad tracks, something like that. But that's what I mean there.
How many shuttles do you think you would run?
We envision a two-hour turnaround.
I'm thinking if somebody lives in the area or lives in Woodstock, would they be able to get on a train, commute down to Kingston, work an 8-hour shift, and commute back home?
In theory, they could.
But you'd have to have that many shuttles in order to do that.
We would run it every 2 hours. And we'd run a much smaller train than we typically run right now for the shuttle. It would just sort of be as many cars as there would be demand for. But you could basically do a 2-hour turnaround both ways. And again, part of this is that we do want to
be able to pick up, bikes at the foot of the hill. You know, we want to put a stop in at Washington Avenue, where you can load at the Kingston Rail Trail and go up from there, and as well as in Midtown, the Midtown Trail from our station. So again, it does serve a transportation function in addition to into just a senior park.
So you say 2-hour turnaround, starting at what time, ending at what time, and how many days a week?
Start at 9 o'clock. So it's 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and maybe in the summer another one. You know, the trail closes at dusk, so in the winter we would probably not run as you don't want to run it in the dark. But basically, when the trail's open is when we would do it, and so it may be a little bit longer in the summer. But the idea is that you could have regular service, again, it would be a smaller train than we typically use.
And how many days a week?
We could do it 7 days a week if the demand was there. We'd have to see what the demand was.
What do you estimate the initial demand would be?
Well, we think that the initial demand is going to be the peak times currently for the trail, which would be, as I understand it, the weekends, holidays, Fridays, maybe Thursdays. We would expand it depending on where we feel like there is demand. But again, it's going to be a smaller train, so a lot cheaper to operate, and it's something we would run independent of our regular trains.
This is a period station with flag stops, and again, it's our feeling that the increased out-of-county passengers, and I have some numbers on this, will increase the economic impact of railroad to Canada over 50%. I have more on that later. But without the extension, the railroad's ability to increase ridership is very limited. We have 50,000 riders a year. I think we've kind of maxed out in terms of the type of scenic ride that goes into the woods and doesn't go anywhere. And this, I think, would increase our ridership. And then, again, our contribution to the county would be increased as well. What did I do? Oh, I got it back. I think this is the next slide.
Yeah.
Hold on. So I'm pointing this.
There you go.
Nope.
Sorry.
All right.
There you go. One.
If I had one of my kids here, I could do this a little better. Michael, where do I point this? Work.
It should, but maybe it must. It might have disabled it. Otherwise, you can.
There you go.
Okay,
you're good.
It's worked. All right. So, I want to rank this by the various groups that benefit. The city of Kingston, we believe, will benefit from institution regular service. And again, to allow visitors to combine the art, Midtown and Uptown Kingston, a single visit. As we just mentioned, the shuttle run on a 2-hour interval. A connection will let Midtown and Uptown Kingston businesses tap into the economic impact of the Shopee Trail by attracting visitors who might otherwise skip Kingston altogether and drive to directly to West Hurley. And that's, I think, a really important point here is that, what this does is it really makes people who are going to the trail stop in Kingston, get something to eat, do things, in addition to stopping the trail. And that's, right now, that's not necessarily the case. But this would really make a lot more people captive in Kingston than what we might have already. Now the existing terminal is at West McLean, which is not that far from Midtown through the Kingston Midtown Linear Trail, or is a short walk from Uptown Kingston via West McLean. And again, the Casco Mountains 44,000 out of time visitors. Are encouraged already to stop in Midtown and Uptown Kingston while they're in town. They're pretty well known on the Polar Express, the pajamas. But we can, again, that's the group that we would like to try to get up to the reservoir in addition to riding the train. We also, as I mentioned, would offer free rides to disadvantaged Kingston residents who cannot afford to buy a bike right up to the ART.
issues again.
The battery dead?
That's the next one.
You can advance it, Michael.
Michael set the slideshow to only give him 15 minutes.
Sorry. I can see you changing it here, but for some reason it's not. I'm just going to close out of it and open it back up.
So I just want to go back and so I got a kind of a turn it off and turn it back on. Take the battery out and see if that does work. Okay.
Okay, we'll advance it over here.
Yeah, if you just want to tell me next slide, I can.
Got it. One more advanced one. There we are, township. Again, the township benefits. It will not only add a station stop at Basin Road, the town of Woodstock, but also Beesmer Road, a flag stop there, the town of Hurley, Stony Hollow, which is an area that is a potential historical area, and Washington Avenue, as I mentioned earlier, for people to ride and get on the trail and train at the King's Rail Trailhead right now. Next slide. And again, the benefits to the UC businesses, I think again, by creating a destination regional tourist attraction, that will be greater than both in the railroad and the trailer themselves. Hopefully something that would rival Walkway Over the Hudson. The railroad was purchased in 1979. It was originally envisioned to bring the Steamtown National Historic Site here, but it went to Scranton, Pennsylvania. And it was also envisioned as a freight railroad when it was first started. But the tourism potential has now been recognized by the business community, as we had over 40,000 out-of-town visitors to the railroad last year. And again, we were voted Tourism Business of the Year by Ulster County Chamber of Commerce last year. And then we also hosted really recently a train that was chartered by Cuba. And we got a very strong endorsement from the president of Cuba, Marion Gibbons, who said that as president of the Kings of Uptown Business Association, we're proud of the Cascade Mountain Railroad and their dedication to extend the line. The initiative aimed at revitalizing the local economy and enhancing the vibrancy of our business district, further solidifying the dedication to fostering growth and prosperity within our community. We're very happy to get that endorsement from her. Next slide.
I think it's.
And again, this is just a list of the free tickets that we gave away over last year.
I think at this point I'd like to have people be able to ask questions.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Legislator McCullough.
Two quick questions. One, if this is granted, will ticket prices go up?
I don't. We would have a different ticket price for the shuttle than we would for our scenic train. I don't think we would increase the scenic train more than we would normally do.
And my other question.
I'd like to remind the legislators to speak in the mic, please, because we are recording this. It's easier.
Should I ask that question again?
The first one we got. The second, go for the second one.
Okay, second question is the flag stops. Will there be signage letting people know that the flag stops are available?
Yes. At Beesmer Road, there's a place that we were thinking about putting it. There's a illegal road that goes up. I don't know if you saw that when you were walking through.
We did.
So that's one way to get up there. But there's a couple different places we might put it there. Again, it's a flag stop. It would be for local residents or for if we connect to any of the local businesses, they would connect to it as well.
I only ask that because when you can't, you have to know that there's a flag stop. It's
yep.
Not anywhere where people would know that there's a flag stop. Thank you.
Yep. Stony Hollow would be, I think, a bigger one because that's on 28A, and there's, it's right next to the commercial district for Stony Hollow, which is not big, but it's got a couple of businesses that are right off of 28A.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I'm reminded in terms of things we noted on our walkthrough earlier this week, the Madden House, which was just mentioned. We noted to be in extreme disrepair.
Oh, yeah, it has to be
so
perfect, yeah.
Question whether or not that building can be restored from where it is at this point. But my main question for you is, what is the basis, you have any survey information or market studies that would back up your claim about increased visitorship to the Ashokan Rail Trail? You have a rail ride which has 45,000 or 50,000, which you, I think, accurately described as probably capped or maxed out at that level. It seems to me that there would be some percentage, but not the whole percentage, of those people that would extend their ride or use this to go up to the ARP. But I haven't seen any information that would suggest that pedestrians or cyclists, people that you are assuming would be using this and using it in huge numbers that you're claiming. I don't see that intuitively, and I haven't seen any information that would substantiate those claims.
Well, in our ridership of our 50,000 a year, about 30,000 is Polar Express, the other 20,000 are scenic ride. And the scenic ride is the target for the increase. We believe that will double because of the fact that we'll have a destination instead of not having a destination. Now, the spring and summer, the trains are not at capacity. Generally, for the fall and through the end of the year, they are at capacity from about the 1st of October on. The Leaf trains and then Polar Express, we fill the trains completely. But the market that we feel that is underserved right now is the spring and summer market. And that's our target for additional customers for this destination. And again, it's one of the questions that we get from most of the riders is, why are we stopping here? So we're stopping kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I think people expect that we're going to have the train go somewhere and as a destination, which it doesn't have. Then you can also get additional customers, the people who would come who would want to do the trail as well. And remember, out-of-town visitors are probably not going to have bikes with them. So they would need to rent a bike somewhere, which they can do here. You know, they could rent a bike at the Basin Road Station and take it there, but they don't have to bring a bike with them. And so we believe it's going to tap into a customer base that that basically the trail and the railroad don't really have right now, which is people who would come in, rent bikes, and spend the whole day here instead of just come and use each one separately. But that's basically the target market that we have.
I'm going to go with Eric first and then...
So the destination that we created, 19th Century Train Station, that you're planning to build,
yep.
There would be a restaurant in that facility, or...?
We envision it more of a kind of a food and drink.
Like a food court?
Yeah, rather than a restaurant. But you could buy food, you could buy a drink there, more than a concession stand, but probably not as a restaurant.
Right.
But the idea is that, you know, if you're going to use a trail...
So maybe something like the rest stops along the thruway, that sort of...
Something like that,
like
but
that.
Probably not a sit-down area.
Okay.
It's just not that big. But we would also have the location you could, you know, rent out of as well, which is for, you know, for bikes. Bike repairs and stuff like that.
And you said the possibility for cross-country skis as well?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things we don't run in the winter,
mm-hmm.
and we've been also wanting to create a market in the winter so that we can run the train, and that's another good one to bring people up there. I don't know how much cross-country skiing occurs on the trail right now,
because
it depends on the snow, of course, but this could also be something we could market, and that's one of the things that we can do, is we can market the trail. You know, we spend money marketing the railroad, and we would be marking the trail in addition to that.
So, like, for example, you could have, like, Santa Claus at the destination. People could come, ride the Polar Express, and
yep.
make
sure
to
make
Santa
that
Claus or whatever. Yeah,
and that's something we could do. And so it has, and it's the fact that you can actually have events there, it's just something that can't be done at the trailhead. The DEP is probably not the easiest to deal with, and there's no... You know, there's no fixed facility there, and so this would allow you to have an event have any kind of event there that needs electricity in a covered area. And again, it's outside of the DEP, so you know they can't, you know, they can't really shut you down.
So for example, you could have like lecture series or art showings or that sort of thing, or exhibits, whatever.
If you look at the train stations that are, for instance, in Phoenicia, they do a lot of that at the train station, the one in Haynes Falls near where I live. Those old train stations are used for multiple amounts of cultural activity. And again, you know, it would be something that could be used for many different purposes. Not just, and it could also be used as a gateway, a welcome center for people coming into the county. I mean, Walk Over the Hudson has two welcome centers, one on the west bank and one on the east bank. And they have bathrooms, which is why that's how they're on the attraction sign. But the welcome centers are really critical for outsiders because, you know, you have a place you can use the bathroom, and you can buy some food, and you can basically go there and at least be able to do things you can't really do you know, on a trail by itself.
And this would be totally open to the public. So, for example, people who did not take the train to the Basin Road location could, but people who are just walking on the Ashokan Rail Trail could cross the little bridge and go do their business at the public restrooms.
That's right.
Okay.
And this would be open to the public. And again, this is, that's why it has a lot of benefits. It does serve. I mean, again, it serves the purpose of the railroad because we get on the attraction signs and the thruway. You can do a lot of events there. You can do North Pole there. It also serves the trail because the trail can also host events. I mean, the trail is, you know, it really is a great destination, but if you don't have a place you can do events, you know, you have to do them all outside of DEP territory. It limits the way you can use the trail, you know, for as a marketable attraction. I mean, it already has it's a good destination location, but this I think could really enhance it. And again, you know, this would serve essentially as a welcome center, like the walkway where the Hudson has, which I think is one of the reasons why Walkway to the Hudson is so popular, is because it has the amenities that we don't have
here. Let's turn on.
Yeah, I have two questions. One is mainly an observation, I guess. You said in a couple of places that the cost would entirely be borne by the CMRR and that there would be no funding of any kind required from Ulster County. I take it that you mean to build this section and for any track improvements if you were to be given permission to run to this site. But this site does not connect to the Ashokan Rail Trail. And that connection is a bridge, which even for a pedestrian bridge would be some expense, and there would have to be extension of the Ashokan Rail Trail, which does not currently come all the way down to meet the bridge on the other side.
You all walk up there, right?
Yes.
There's a fence. It comes right up. I mean, a lot of people come right up to the fence.
That's kind of an informal extension of the rail trail. The rail trail formally ends before that. So there would be a design, there would have to be negotiation with DEP about making such a connection because it would not be an insignificant change in the function of that, of the trail, to have a fourth trailhead that's not under their control but is immediately adjacent. So just that statement at no cost, I think, would have to be looked at because I think that would not, the project as you're presenting it would have costs that you haven't included in what you're talking about here.
Well, the county railroad would, we would make the bridge passable because it needs handrails and it needs to be, if the county allows us to, because I believe it's a county-owned bridge, but we would take care of making sure that it was passable and safe for pedestrians. We can take care of that.
You would need permission from DEP, but yes. that's good to have that pledge that of the expenditures.
One thing to remember.
And in terms of the site itself, what you describe happening at the site, it seems attractive. It seems quite large, what you've drawn there in terms of the site that I saw yesterday. And I think that there are questions in terms of the zoning of that property, in terms of what would be allowed there. So the question I would have for you is any of the funding that you have pledged from New York State DOT, would it allow you to build this if you didn't run trains to it? That is it, this site is something in itself, then there's the section of track from 8.33 up to whatever this is, 9.5 or whatever it is. Do you have to have access from the via railroad in order to do any of this?
Well, the funding
either on your own or with New York State funding.
It's called PFRAF, passenger rail freight funding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's allocated to railroads, and we also were, they as part of the grant, they will be paying for the renovation of the track within this section here. Basically, the grant pays for everything except the building of the station itself. That's not covered by the grant, but everything else is covered by it. Renovating the track, putting in the roads. This is not asphalt. This is would be a loose surface, but that's what the $667,000 grant is for.
And I'm sorry, follow up. Does that funding anticipate that you would have a rail yard at this site?
No, we don't plan to have anything but a single track here.
So there's no storage of trains whatsoever that would take place at this site?
No, we have a different site that we've identified that would be for storage of trains, but that's a completely different location.
And maintenance and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it would be somewhere else. Yeah. No, this would just be a single track coming up here. Someday we do want to have what we call a runaround, but I don't know if it's really physically, it would have to probably be done, where the engine will go engine first. I just don't see that there's enough room to do it here. We'd have to probably go somewhere else to do it. Right now we do what's called a shove move. We go engine first up and we go caboose first down. It seems to work pretty well. But again, it's going to be we envision just a single track, no change of what is already there. And the rails are in pretty good shape. It's just all the ties have to be replaced. That's about 4,000 ties from Stony Hollow up to here. This 800 feet or so will be paid for by the state of New York, and the Casco Mountain Railroad will be paying for the replacement of ties in the rest of the section.
Any further questions?
I'm just a little confused because you were talking about shuttle trains,
yep.
And then you're also talking about the scenic railroad.
Yep.
So do both of those trains run on this track, or would this just be the shuttle?
Well, we would probably, the scenic train may double as the shuttle, at certain times of the day.
Right.
Whereas the shuttle would probably, when we're not running a scenic train, would probably, run the other times of the day. And actually, it's interesting, when you get a short train, you're really basically operating essentially as a rail bus going up there, and there are
almost like a trolley sort of
in that category.
Yeah,
and we might look at something. That's where you actually can do something that would be like a battery operated setup, because it's a relatively light load, and then a lot of railroads are experimenting with hydrogen and battery operated locomotives. Or sometimes there are some that are basically just a single unit that's a passenger car combined, and I've seen a lot of this coming up. I mean, they're not cheap, but it's something that we might be able to get a grant for the shuttle service that could be completely separate from the scenic train.
From the scenic train.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of really interesting things that are being developed right now in the railroad business for very environmentally friendly shuttles, basically like that.
And both the shuttles and the scenic train would be housed here at Kingston.
Yeah, it would be.
By the Kingston Plaza.
Yeah, and no, we don't plan to have anything up there except for during the day.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Now there's, I got about halfway through the presentation, but I think I've gone through most of what, you know, the questions you have are. So what I'll just do is maybe wrap up. And of course, you can ask me questions about the rest of the presentation. If you need a copy, if anybody needs a copy, I have extras. Anybody who here would like it, let me know. But again, we think that this is a win-win for the county and for the railroad and for the trail. We want to get started as soon as we can. We're not asking for any money. We just want permission. And remember, too, this grant does cover building a trail parallel to the tracks, at least in the area of the grant. And Casco Mountain River is also looking at ways to how to build the trail next to the tracks. Well, we'll do that on a separate presentation. I don't want to get it. That's just too much to do with one presentation. But we surveyed the tracks ourselves now that it's tick-free, and we have a presentation that can walk through all this if it's necessary.
Well, I think that presentation would be of great interest to us all because, you know, like I said, when we walked the tracks yesterday, you know, in some areas they're quite narrow, and we were like, well, how are you going to fit a pathway alongside these tracks? And then we were wondering if maybe there could be like a situation where perhaps the trail could go along the ridge above the trail. And so we were just trying to figure out how that could work because it wasn't obvious in some areas due to the narrowness of the cutout or because of the narrowness of, you know, the huge base on which it sits.
Well, the cuts.
I don't want to get into that discussion at this point. I think we're going to save the rail with trail for a different discussion.
Perfect.
Let's let Litz, I think, had his hand up also.
Yeah, I mean, I would just. You said you. I mean, you looked at the corridor. What's the average width of the right of way or the easement from one end to the other?
For most of the corridor, it's 66 feet. But on most of this extension, it's actually wider than that. It's Stony Hollow Fill was expanded from 66 feet to 150 feet in 1911. This is related to when they relocated the line, which is at the end of the Stony Hollow Fill. The railroad built the extension at a very high engineering level, and the width of the right-of-way is much wider. It's 100 to 120 feet in different places. We have a map that shows all of this.
That would be helpful. At the north end of that fill, we noticed there was some bunting and a property line. Is that the edge of the right-of-way?
What was that again?
At the north end of the fill.
Yep.
Off in the woods.
Where the logs? Oh, you mean the stone walls?
There were stone walls.
Yeah.
Those are old property lines.
No, I mean... It was a survey point that was recently added bunting to it to flag it.
Okay.
If that's the width of the right-of-way, it's a lot greater than 120 feet.
Well, according to the maps that were on the deed when the railroad was purchased by the county, which actually is I have over here if you want to see it, it's 150 feet. That's what the deed says. The width of the fill right now is somewhere between, it's more than 66 feet. It's probably around 100 to 120 at the base. What the railroad did is when they built the Shokan Reservoir, they actually raised the fill by a couple feet. I don't know if you've noticed, but at the end, the old right-of-way, where they divide, the new right-of-way is a couple feet higher than the old right-of-way. And at that time, when they raised it, they added to the fill. Basically, they took from the cuts or further up, and they just basically dumped it down the sides. That's, you know, so the angle of repose, which we think is about 45 degrees, is essentially where the rocks stopped moving when they threw them over the bank. And we think it's probably about a 45 degree angle. I'm going to try to measure it before we give this presentation. I have an exact amount. I actually was walking down. I walked the base of the fill last weekend. And it was about halfway up down the south side, and then I walked up. It was actually I couldn't walk it up. It was somehow made it. And but it is just stone. It looks like it's shale that must have come out of the cut.
So if the legislature were to designate, since it hasn't been designated, to designate this section for use by the railroad, what is your plan in terms of addressing the zoning and applying for permits and doing whatever environmental review the town of Woodstock might request?
Well, the site is actually, it is zoned commercial.
That's incorrect. It's zoned residential, Hamlet.
Is it?
It's Hamlet residential, yes.
Okay, well, I must have misread it then. But we would have to go through the Woodstock Town Board about all of this.
It's neighborhood commercial, which is different than commercial.
Okay.
To be accurate, neighborhood commercial
neighborhood
is.
Commercial.
Yeah.
Is that different from what we have here? What does neighborhood commercial mean exactly?
Neighborhood commercial is intended for shops.
Okay. So
not for gas stations, not for those kinds of uses.
So
you can look at the code.
So would this count as neighborhood commercial?
I believe it's neighborhood commercial.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign that it sounds like it meets the existing zoning. And
I don't think that's true.
No, I think it's just the opposite.
We
don't have to decide that now, but I would just say that as a reviewer of this proposal, to commit the county to a course that could have lost revenue for it in terms of, I mean, we talked about cost to the county of outright cost, but opportunity cost, things foregone, is a real cost, especially when you have a trail that is seeing 140,000 people a year in the segment where it is not connected into Kingston. So to contemplate designating this section for a use that would involve this endpoint, that endpoint, I think you need to identify, in some way for me at least, I hope for some of my colleagues, as realistic. And my understanding is the way you do that is you apply to do what you want to do. It's not a big deal. And you get an answer on whether or not you're allowed to do it. And I would certainly caution the county against doing anything without a clear, that headed towards this as an attraction, if this attraction is not allowed.
By the town of Woodstock?
By the town of Woodstock, by the zoning of the parcel that you're proposing to develop.
Well, again, one thing that the railroad right-of-way, the county, in some circumstances has been designated we've applied for building permits directly from the county. We put a building in, we moved the section house in the town of Ulster. We went to town of Ulster and got a building permit, and then they said no. The county said no, it has to come from the county. So I'm not really sure, what jurisdiction is what here. But the county has asserted jurisdiction on parts of the quarter before. Whether it would do here now or not, I just don't know.
I believe it's at the best joint jurisdiction. It is a Woodstock town zoning code that you have to look at too. And we don't own this property. If the county had owned the property, it's a different set of laws than if we do not own the property. A right-of-way does not give us ownership. Ownership, technically, if the county owned the property, we could do whatever we wanted to do, despite what the town wants. That's not because the town's happy when we do that, but that's the law, because we're in a different municipality than the town. Because it's a right-of-way, not an ownership, that zoning code that Woodstock has is what applies. That's my belief. I'm not a lawyer. I'm going to say it again. I'm not a lawyer, so we'll check that out, but that's my belief.
Well, the one thing is that being able to go up and unload people and load people here within the easement is something that I think is different from building the station. Building the station definitely is going to require going through the town of Woodstock planning board. Having a ramp that loads and unloads people, that depends on how the county wants to deal with that issue. But that is much less of an issue than obviously building a building.
Correct. Let's.
I mean, as you propose it, the station would be built within the easement, or is it built on private property?
I have it as within the easement, but just because that's where a station is. But you could have some of the station, you know, here, and then you could put some of it. You could take the retail part and put it here instead, and take it out of it.
So that would be up to the LLC and not any of us.
Yeah, I mean that's possible because. Again, the owner of the property is willing to build as long as he can lease it, the commercial part, and you know that may you know you may shrink the station down to a much smaller building and put the retail site outside of the easement. But he's very keen on building something here that he can lease, you know, for bike rental, for concession stand, and that doesn't require any money even from us. So that's something that is, again, could be located outside the easement area if necessary.
Any further questions? I'd like to end soon. We've taken a while on this, but yeah, go ahead.
Just thank you. The drawing there shows what appear to be parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
How many parking spaces, and do you have something that would be the equivalent of a site plan?
This is as far as we have it so far. We have... and we've really been focusing mostly on the station area itself, and we also have, if you look we have a phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase one basically has a loading ramp and a very small temporary station similar to what we have in Kingston, and so that's something that could be built, you know, relatively quickly. So, you know, getting it operating as a shuttle service just really requires a ramp and be able to get people across Basin Road. You know, building the concession stands and building the stations, we're going to have to go through the town. Let's talk about that.
And how many parking spaces do you imagine?
Looks like about 100 or so, I would say, here. Again, it will depend upon the... you know, how we configured the entrance and exit off of Route 28, but you could put quite a few parking spaces in here. That would be, you know, that would have to be worked out with the town of Woodstock too.
And the parking area would be gravel and not asphalt.
Yeah, I don't envision it to be asphalt. But the main thing is this road here. This is the critical part of this plan, so that people can come in and enter here and exit here. This is, you know, the key to making this whole thing work is this road. And that's what the grant money from the state will help us construct.
And that's accessed from Basin Road.
Yes, and that's what makes this site, you know, and the thing too is that even today you can't go, trail ends here. If you want to go even this way down Basin Road or 28, you have to go out here, around, and down this way. One of the first things I would like to do once we get going on the site is to put an entrance so that people can get right around here and get to Basin Road quickly, which they can't do right now. And, I mean, again, you don't want people on 28 as much as, I mean, I would assume most bikes prefer not to be on 28. But one of the first things I'd like to do in cooperation with the county is to make it so you can get across Basin Road and go out and go down Basin Road this way. So that's something, it doesn't physically take a lot to do. You know, we have to go through some approval process to do that. But that's one of the first things that we would want to get done, is to allow bikes to come through here and go down Basin Road, or up Zeta Road as well.
So then repairing the bridge there on Basin Road would also be one of the first things that you would do?
Yeah, the bridge, we had the bridge inspected 7 years ago.
Yeah.
It's actually structurally sound for rail use. So what it would require is you really have to you know, get the grade even with what the trail is right now, and you've got to put handrails on the side and make sure it's safe. But there's handrails on the side already, you know, on the west side. So we would do something on the east side, something like that. But that's one of the first things we would want to get going is to allow people to you know, come here off the trail and go this way. And, you know, that could be done, physically it's easy to do. You know, we'd have to make sure everybody's happy about it. but you know, obviously the county would have to be happy with that. But it would probably take people, you know, people would be outside the easement area in order to do this. So that involved the town of Woodstock. We'd have to talk with them about that too.
Okay,
and I think that's something we'd like to do right away.
We're going to move on to the next. I do want to mention that I've distributed something to the legislators. It's an email exchange from the Department of Transit, Raymond Hessinger, the county executive office, and including me at the end. The initial email was a question from the Department of Transit of whether or not all the issues had been resolved. Our answers were they've not been resolved, because a key issue is whether or not it's going to be going to be rail or trail. The communication from the DOT at the end is they understand that that issue must be resolved before anything else can be resolved as far as the grant goes. So that email is with all of you now. Yes?
I just want to apologize, but also explain. Deputy Executive Laval, Amanda Laval, had mentioned this correspondence to me and said that she had directed this person from DOT to me, which I thought was in my role as chair of the Public Works Committee. And so I didn't recognize that the correct connection that was being sought was with the chair of this committee. So that's why there was a little bit of a route through me. And I didn't hear anything further, but apparently it was because it had gotten correctly routed to you.
Yes,
so I just
want to
let you know why my name appears in here. That was my understanding from a telephone call with the deputy county executive.
Thank you. Any questions about the letter? It's just a back and forth, just to clarify that we have not yet resolved what's going to happen. That's basically what our statement is, and we'll do that, and that's what this committee is for. Anything else? Go ahead, Eric.
Do we have a date for the next presentation on the trail aspect?
We do not. I think that the next meeting, what I'd like to do, if it's okay with the legislators, is to focus on rail plus trail. And that focus would include an understanding or discussion, I should say, of the width necessary to have rail plus trail. You know, obviously for safety for the pedestrians, the bikers, the trains, etc. To me, that's a number. It's going to be 10 feet, 15, I have no idea, 20 feet. There are definitely opinions on that throughout the state of what the correct width is or a distance from a walkway to a train. There's also that distance is based somewhat on the speed of the train, of course. So all of that, I think, is a discussion that we should have within this group.
No, I was going to say, my recollection, and I haven't read it in a long time, is the Stone Report, I believe, gave some of those numbers, what the minimum requirement is, and then they had a list of, I believe they had a list of places where Railwood Trail was built that they were consultants for, and, you know, what that particular state or county or whatever the requirement was for Railwood Trail.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those numbers, I think, are in that report.
I think there are some there. There's other sources, too, that I'll bring forward to. Which later?
Yeah, the Stone Report actually talks about, let's see if I can give you the exact wording that they use on it, is... it's going to be right here. They don't give suggested standards. The Railwood Trail Feasibility Study for Ulster County that was done by Alta Planning does give recommendations. That's the 2006 study. And the current study up in Shandaken, done by Barton and Legutis, also does give recommendations. The Stone Report talks about how design standards relate to potential funding sources, and basically indicates that you can shift your design standards based upon what sort of funding that you want, which I believe is true, but I think is a little different than the question of what is the design standard to give you the safest, best quality trail, which is what the two engineering firms did. there is also a document from New York State Office of Parks and Recreation on standards and guidelines. But the larger groups like New York State and even federal groups like the Federal Highway Association get more and more broad in saying consider local factors rather than giving you more and more specific standards. The most specific standards that I've been able to find were given by the engineering firms that were hired by the county to build trails for us. And there's a couple more that we can get by the next meeting. And I think that we should go through that. I think like today, though, we might be able to do that and have a presentation. And I think it's very important since the CMRR has had their presentation about railroad only, that we extend the invitation to Open Space Institute and let them present on trail only. And then we can have both of them come back in the future on the rail with trail question.
I'm totally fine with that if that's what the legislators want. I think that's a great idea if we can do that. I see nodding heads, so we'll do that. I don't need to take a vote on it, we'll just do it.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
No, this person is Ernest.
Okay,
this is Kevin Smith.
Good.